8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
Well, guys, let's welcome Art Cruz from the wonderful Lamb of God. Art, how are we today?
I'm doing great. Doing really good. Doing real good. How are you, Josh? I mean, you have a great setup right there. Is that a prong cleansing record?
It is, actually. And the, let's see, that photo in there is me and Tommy when I was 14.
Wow. Love that. How old are you now?
43.
43? So. No shit. Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, that was on the cleansing tour. So, yeah, that was...
I love that.
Actually, I think if you could see the other photo in there, it's a Paul Raven. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, dude, I met him too. Legend.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Yeah, yeah. Art Cruz, formerly of Prong, also for everyone out there.
Yeah, I spotted that. I was like, cool.
Awesome, man. Well, Omens is out October 7th. I've been just honestly binge listening to it the last few days, just listening over and over. And the one thing I guess kind of comes off with you, man, like second album with the band. I mean, are you feeling more comfortable writing parts for the band, not worrying so much maybe about the legacy of the drums of Lamb of God, because drums have always been such a huge part of the band. So, I mean, are you able to just kind of focus on you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this was actually, it was a very band decision, if you will. It was kind of like, it kind of naturally happened. The first one, like the self-titled record was so, it was like you were saying, you have to like kind of, you don't want to steer too far left or right on what the band is, but I was so inspired by the band, you know, like to begin with, as them being one of my favorite bands growing up. So I didn't really go too far with that one, but I think collectively after learning and getting to know everybody on a more professional level, we've always been friends, you know, we've always been bros. We've always been friends for many years, but to go into the studio and learn how Josh worked, our producer, how Mark liked to bring songs up, how Willie and Mark write together, and the rest of the guys, it's kind of a workflow that you have to kind of get used to. And the first time going into it, I was so green with them that I was kind of like, it was a fragile like thing to approach. Like, you learn how they work, you know, and these guys have been doing it obviously much longer than I have. But I'm no complete rookie to the game. Right. I've written music with Prong. I've written music with Winds of Plague and so many other bands. But as you go into new bands and new projects, you learn personalities and workflows, and your scenery changes right. with the way people work. So realistically, it was comforting to get that first one out the way, but coming around this one, it was just, like I said, natural. We just felt a flow of how everybody worked, and they kind of just were like, send it, bro. Like, just do it now. Like, just do what you're going to do. And we beefed up the sound, the not only the production of the record, but like, you know, recording live together as a band in the same studio, and, you know, beefing up my drum size sounds and bigger cymbals and just different things to really, like, things that I've always been inspired by as a drummer. But again, just, it didn't go too far off the grid. It was just much more, if I can put it into terms of people to understand, it was just a unit and more human being, like less grid, less like punchy, more thought, together as a group. And for them to allow me to do that this time around, not that they didn't the first time, but it was just easier for us to just kind of go into it naturally and feel like, damn, all right, this is how it's going to be. And I felt really free. And that's what I did. I did stuff that I wanted to do, but I played for the songs for sure. It wasn't a very, I'm not trying to one up myself or anybody, before me, in that sense, but it was very, just, it felt right this time. It felt less stressful and a lot more fun.
I mean, I will say, I mean, technically you've still been in the band just a short period of time, like when you look at this grand scheme of things. So two albums in, you know, obviously huge Slayer tours, and now you're on your own tours now with Fire and Flames and Dragons. Yeah. You know, it's just so much going on, man. I mean, it still has to be a whirlwind for you. Like, do you still on stage catch yourself and see the fire going off, see Randy up there, and just like, how did I get here?
Yeah, and it happens usually at the same moment every night, and it's we've been opening with Memento Mori, which is one of the first songs we you know, that was one of the first songs in the bin that was pretty much well put together by Mark. And that was one of the first songs we kind of worked on, that along with Checkmate on the first record. But we've been opening our sets with that. It's kind of like, it's now a new staple, I would say, mm-hmm. to come out with that song. It was a very special song. So it usually happens during the intro of that, when we have our kabuki backdrop where you can't see us, but we can't see the crowd quite yet, and you can see our logo. It's when our logo like kind of glows up the, mm-hmm. the kabuki. It's really I'm usually taking in a very deep amount of thoughts and being very thankful for the situation that I'm in at the current moment. And then I usually have a moment with Mark before that, and kind of just like nod, and like, it's just a moment, you know, that I give thanks to every single night that I'm on stage. And, I think it'll always be at that moment during Memento Mori. I think, it's just a crazy, the intro's big, it's long, it's off the first album that I did with the band. There's a lot of different emotions for that, and big boom at the beginning, and then the crowd appears. It's just, it's some shit that you don't expect is going to happen to you, and it's very special. So that's the moment every night. So I'm not sure what we're going to open with on the Omens tour, but it might be Memento. Probably, you just know that it's happening every time that song's happening.
So one thing I was going to talk to you about was on the last few tours you've had, Phil Dimmel out. Obviously, mm-hmm. he's been on the show many times, and then Mark Hunter has been on the show many times. Like, yeah. just so many just great dudes out there. But, you know, you kind of being, let's see how to word this. Like, I've been in bands with random people, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's like, at any moment, it could fall apart.
Yeah.
And I've been in bands with dudes that have been in the band for years, and you just know it's going to be solid.
Yeah.
Like, so those times when you're out there, like, you know, obviously, Phil's a professional, Mark, and everybody's professional at this point. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, are you ever nervous that things are just going to just fall apart at any minute with any of this stuff?
I would say no on the falling apart completely. I've learned, even at, you know, playing with Prong, I learned that a lot, to not, you know, really fall apart. You kind of just got to flow with it. That's the beauty of playing with a band, as a band, and with, obviously, with dudes that have been doing this so long. And I mean, you talk about Phil Demmel, he's been doing it just as long, if not longer, than these guys. So it's like, when you bring somebody in like that to kind of help you out and fill in for you, there's always some nerves, but realistically at the end of the day, as Mark Morton would say, it's just rock and roll, man. Right. It really is just rock and roll. And that's the beauty of us as playing like that. We don't play to any tracks or any, you know, click tracks or anything nice. Programmed. So another beauty of that is if you kind of get lost, you can kind of jump back in and have no problem, professionally. And, you know, you have that universal musical language of just looking at each other, and like, you know, if something goes astray, you can kind of bring it back to where it needs to be. But I've never had the fear of that. Usually that fear was when I first jumped in 2018. That was the first time that I had that really terrifying emotion. But ever since then, it's kind of, I've learned to be around these guys, and they've kind of not held my hand, but really like showed me the light and how to do things even better than I was already doing. So never have the fear. It's nice to do that. There is a groove that I needed to learn. There's a swagger that Lamb of God has that sometimes
right.
bring somebody in. They don't necessarily have that complete like push-pull vibe, and they might just be playing really, really tight. But we have this like this groove that's kind of, you have to learn. I had to learn it. It took me a long time to kind of figure out that like Richmond swagger, like
right.
flow, chill, kind of cruising. Don't, you know, overthink it. Just kind of like, it's almost like you don't care, but you really like you. It's a very, I don't want to say it's cocky. It's just kind of like a very confident swagger. That's right. just, yeah, it's fine. we're chilling, you know? So that's the only thing that you kind of adjust when you bring in like somebody like that, like Phil, or even when we had the guys like Mark from Chimera and coming in to help us when Randy got sick. So it might be a little different vocally, but as far as the instrument level, we figured it out. It's a vibe for sure.
From what I've heard from Mark talking about getting up there with you guys, it doesn't seem like if those guys get on stage with you guys and mess up that you guys aren't all going to like turn and stare at them and then like yell at them out when they get off stage. It seems like, hey man, if you fuck up, you fuck up, you know? Yeah. We understand what's going on right now.
Yeah. And that's happened. And that I had, it was kind of a beautiful kind of scenario with Joe from Fit for an Autopsy singing.
Yeah, that was really good
song. And I'll tell you one thing, because I come from that generation of music, you know, that deathcore scene, the Winter Plague scene. That was my baby, my introduction into the metal community professionally. So I had a really crazy moment with that, where, you know, you do so many years playing with Lamb, and I remember kind of being in that position as he was, because he was kind of like the same as me. When I first came to fill in for the band on the Slayer tour, whatever second leg it was. But I remember Joe coming in, and I can see myself in him. And it was really special. And I kind of like, I told Mark and Willie and all the guys, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to kind of like, I'll help him out. I'm going to walk him through everything. Like I'm going to set up some, like, some conversation time and like some, like, hey man, it's going to be cool, because like, I was in that position and I knew exactly what he was dealing with, let alone I'm hiding behind a drum kit, but this guy is fronting one of his favorite metal bands of all time, just like I was playing drums for Lamb early on. So to have that moment, like to help him and walk him through everything, it was really special. Cause I saw myself constantly, and I was just like, it was kind of like one of those little grins. And when I'm playing with them, I'm like, yeah, man, I remember that feeling. I remember what you're feeling right now. Like, it's very unexplainable, that feeling that he was probably going through.
So we know Phil Dimmel's the kind of backup guitarist, bassist guy. And then Howard Jones actually came out on Josh's show and said he was Randy's fill-in, but for first leg, but he didn't know he was supposed to be second leg or something. Yeah. Like that. Do you have a guy like waiting in the wings?
You know, what's funny is I've asked a few friends, you know, I've asked John Rice, former Job for a Cowboy. I think he's doing Uncle Acid, great drummer. He's filled in for me.
I was about to say Behemoth. There's that Behemoth video of him out there that's just insane. Right.
Amazing drummer. It's kind of weird because it's like you have to, like, I've asked Luke Holland. I mean, I have some guys in the wings, most of which are, everybody just seems to be busy, and which is fine. It's great. I'm very lucky that I have not gotten sick to the point of being able to not perform, you know? But it's wise to constantly have somebody like that. And that's why Randy, you know, has a couple people, and Mark does, and Willie does, and I do, and somebody that can really universally just kind of rotate within all of us, because I think we're in a time now where you need to just, there's no excuse now. You just play the show, man. You want to give the fans a show, let alone just canceling because somebody can't make it. I think they would be more stoked on maybe somebody not being there, but being able to see all the bands play and open up for you, and then you play the same tunes and have a good time, other than like, oh, the show is canceled, or oh, we're not playing. So I have a couple people in mind like that all the time. Everybody's schedule is just so,
right,
thankfully, busy, you know, because we, for a while, nobody was working at all. So everybody was available. But now it's like everybody's out there with bands and side projects and this and that, trying to make things happen for themselves. So, I have a couple people like that, you know, that I've asked, and they're usually just kind of keeping me posted on their schedule. And it's good to have two or three, especially with drummers. Not saying it, Lamb of God is really a really hard, very unique.
Yes.
Type of drumming between myself and older stuff that Chris was playing. You have to be really tight. You got to be really on it, and it's not the easiest, you know. But to get some players that are confident enough to be able to do it, that already is a refreshing feeling. Like, oh yeah, you know. So I have some people rehearsing songs occasionally when they have time. So it's always good to like have that until the shit hits the fan. But hopefully that doesn't happen. So I'm taking care of myself. I'm healthy. I'm doing good. So.
Well, I would never wish this, but I would love to see a Howard Jones Lamb of God show. Like,
wild, right?
That would be nuts. Wild.
I think a lot of these singers out there, I'm speaking as a fan as well. Right. You know, Randy Bly is the greatest frontman in heavy metal history, in my opinion, not just on a vocal level. It's more of a performer. You know what I'm saying? Metal bands need a performer, somebody like that, that can really take it and lead you through this, like, this adventure, this, you know what I'm saying? So I think, between Randy and like people like Jamie Josta, obviously Phil Anselmo, like these are elite frontmen in my opinion. That's just in my generation too. I mean, you can go very back even more and start going deep into like, you know, the older stuff in the classic metal days and stuff like that. But I don't feel like there was a lot more performers happening now, I think, you know, with from the hardcore scene and that new wave of American metal that came through. It's just like your front man was kind of everything. So to see that happen one day, I mean, who knows? Hopefully, like you said, you know, we don't wish that, but it would be interesting if Howard Jones did it one day, you know? But yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Lamb of God back in the club days, all the way up to obviously what we're seeing now. And Randy has always kind of had that it factor, and just even I remember the club show where he was smashed, but he still pulled it off, and it was awesome. And yeah, you know, he had that almost that Phil Anselmo presence, you know,
very much.
And you know, just the actually your camera froze. Now I lost where I was going with that. Sorry. Where was I going? The one great thing about Randy is that he's not necessarily a giant metalhead. You know, he's got the punk roots and he's into photography. He's not your stereotypical metal guy.
Yeah.
I love those old videos of like Burn the Priest, where he's got the glasses on and he gets up on stage and takes them off and then rips into like whatever, man. It's just like, he's like just kind of a big nerd, but he turned into like the best metal frontman, like you said.
Yeah. And I think the beauty about punk rock too, I mean, punk rock music and punk rock bands are they're surrounded by the singer, you know, the frontman is a very important factor in punk rock. I mean, I can go down the list, but it's like, you know, punk music is so emotionally driven and passionate, by the frontman, that I think he brings that with him, and his experiences over life and how, you know, he's sober now and he's a very, very straight shooter when it comes to like just life and the way that he makes his decisions. And I think that's wonderful. But the fact that he's come this such a long way with all of the obstacles, it's kind of made him into this like unstoppable powerhouse of a frontman. And to be able to have witnessed that through friendship and from fan to friend to bandmate, you know, to see that like progression of him, it's terrifying in the best way possible. Like that, I mean, it's just scary how amazing he is. Like he's literally the best, like just dominant.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And what I like about the kind of the punk roots of the band too, is even on the covers album with the punk, the Bad Brains covers and things like that. Yeah. And even on the new album, Denial, Mechanism? It's just, you know, you just busted in with that, you know, the punk rock beat, and then it just kicks in, man. Lamb of God can pull off a punk tune.
Yeah, I believe it. I don't think they've really steered too far away from it, but I mean, it's there. It just hasn't been predominantly like everything, but there's always been one of those types of songs that thrashy punk, you know, Contractor or Roots on the last record, and with Chuck Billy, and there's always a jam like that. And this one, we had to make sure, like, this was a Willie song, I think. And we just kind of, between Willie and Mark, it was just like, yeah, this is super punk rock. And obviously Randy was stoked. It's the first one that we laid down in together in the studio. Like, I think we only did it like three or four times. And then it was like, that was it. Like, as far as my drum take, it was like, bam, all right, that's it. Cool. It was a lot of fun.
The other one I've written down is Gamora, man. It's just that Lamb of God groove, man. I love it.
It's groovy. And the thing that at the top of that song, I mean, whenever, I'm not sure when this is going live, but whenever people do finally hear it, it's such a, it's kind of nostalgic to that new era of that new wave. I think, you know, it's got the melodic Lamb of God, old Lamb of God, but then it's got like that breakdowny, like just really wide anthem, like open space, that kind of gives you no choice, but to kind of give you one of these,
one of those,
you know, kind of, there's a lot of windups in this album, you know, a lot of the windups that are going to come and smack you down. So, that's one of them. That's one of them for sure.
And as we kind of wrap up, man, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming Killswitch Engage tour. Obviously, that is a monster of a tour right there. Yeah. And plus select dates with Baroness, Suicide, Silence, Motionless and White, Fit for an Autopsy, Spirit Box, and Animals as Leaders, man. You just bring in everybody. Let's go.
I think it's going to be I think we had to really bring it this time around. Lamb of God hasn't headlined a tour, like soul Lamb of God tour, in many years, well before I was even in the band. It's still been a long time. So with two records under our belt with me, as well as the classic discography that they have, I think we're going to have a lot of fun with the set list. We're going to have a lot of fun with all these bands. It's just the page is turning right now. With the generation of where we're at in heavy metal, I think. And this tour is going to be a great one to kind of close out the year in America for us, and with the new record coming out, and just hopefully take the momentum from this tour and really take it into next year and just keep going, man. Just keep going. I'm really stoked. Killswitch is one of my favorite bands, just as much as Lamb of God was growing up. So I watched both of their DVDs simultaneously,
like, right,
all the time. World Ablaze, then making of Sacrament, and you know, Killadelphia, just constantly, just back and forth for many, many years. I watched them back and forth. So this one holds a special place in my heart. But I think as a band and as a unit, and for our metal scene right now, this is the tour that you cannot miss for sure.
I'll say I saw it was Killswitch Engage on End of Heartache, and Lamb of God on Ashes of the Wake. Back on like a Tuesday, Wednesday, it was like back to back. In my head, ever since, in my head, has just been blown.
I love it, man. I love that. Hopefully, it does well. I look forward to it. A lot of great cities, a lot of great venues, and obviously, all the bands opening on the separate legs is going to be really special too.
Nice. One last question. I was listening to the Garza podcast, and the only thing that really jumped out to me was when they asked you to go on tour for Suicide Silence, you just said yes, and then you quit your job.
Yeah.
When's the Plague asked you to join the band, you just said yes and let's do it. Lamb of God calls you, you said let me call you back. Do you know what the difference was there? Was it a maturity thing or was it just a situation thing? What do you think it was?
You kind of hit it on the head there. Definitely a maturity thing. I didn't want to just say fuck it all and just, you know, definitely a maturity thing. I learned a lot when I was in Prong, man. You know, when you play with somebody like Tommy Victor, who's been through it, you know, through the shit. He's been through universally, industry wise, music wise, you learn a lot. I think it was a maturity thing. And it was kind of like, let me wrap my head around this. Is this fucking like really happening right now? Because this is like the opportunity of a lifetime. Not even going into it like, I'm going to be the drummer. That's
right.
Story. But to just have this opportunity, it was really, I had to think about it. And I really had to be like, okay, well, what's going on here? Where's my life at right now? You know, this is going to be a big deal, just to wrap my head around it and think about what Prong was doing and where I was with Prong. And I just had to do it the right way. And thankfully it ended up working out for everybody and everybody's doing good. So, yeah, man, that was definitely a mature decision to call him back.
Yeah. Give me 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And I love the girlfriend at the time. I was like, why are you even asking me? Like, get back on the phone.
It was just a whole thing, man. Thankfully, it's worked out. We're doing great. I'm stoked.
Well, awesome, Art Cruz. Well, Omens is out October 7th. And once again, man, thanks for taking some time here. Talk to me podcast, notfest.com.
Thank you, Josh.
the Talk To Me podcast presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.